We are continuing our series about forecasting, all things forecasting, getting into the numbers and the sheets today. So Taylor is back in the saddle with me. He's going to be joining me and we're going to be doing some role play. Going through our forecast, I'm going to be playing the role as a founder coming in. This is the first step of onboarding for us as an agency. And then we walk through the forecast alongside you. And so we're going to be doing a little bit of role play. This is a small snippet. Usually this forecast call goes an hour, hour and a half. This is going to be 15 to 20 minutes of just jumping into the weeds. I'm going to play the role of a skincare brand founder, and Taylor is going to be playing himself. Let's jump in. Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Social Snowball, an affiliate platform for e-com that is focused on enabling affiliate partnerships for what I like to call the modern affiliate. So not the traditional affiliates, publishers, blogs, etc. This is the modern affiliates such as creators, ambassadors, influencers, customers, etc. So there's many things I love about Social Snowball. One of the first things that comes to mind is they eliminate all code leaks. So if your codes that have gone out to influencers or affiliates have ended up on coupon sites, Social Snowball would eliminate this. Also, it's very important to have a tiered-based system to motivate your affiliates to continue to post and generate revenue for you. So they make that super seamless. Make it super easy on the affiliate to get paid out any which way that they like. So Venmo, PayPal, directly to their bank on a Visa gift card, Amazon gift card, all that, et cetera. If you guys haven't checked them out, they're on the Shopify App Store. Go check them out today. You're missing out. They are clearly the best and our number one recommendation for affiliate marketing. All right, everyone, we are back with another episode of the Influence Marketing Blueprint in this little mini series here on forecasting specifically. So in episode one, you heard a generic overview from me. And in the upcoming episode, you're going to hear an exact client that probably is too late in bringing him on because he's on a rocket ship of a brand. But on this episode, we're going to be role playing. So Cody will be playing the role, yours truly, of a brand owner, and Taylor will be playing himself, which you play yourself like the best of them. So, all right, let's dive in.
I'm going to call you Ron
George
on this call. George. George it is. Well, George at Skincare Brand. Well, again, role playing wise, we're going to pretend as though all these blue inputs have already been filled in properly. Typically on a forecasting call with a client, we'll go through all this data and we'll confirm that it is correct. We'll showcase where we got it from, but Cody already did that with you in the last podcast segment. If you haven't tuned into that, go check that out because it'll break down where all these blue inputs come from. But on this call, on this segment, we're going to assume that all of these are already filled in correctly. But let's just backtrack here. First things first on these client calls. George, we want to get aligned with you on our forecast. We want to tie our forecast to the goals that you have that will ultimately tie to our in-ad account targets. So as a business, what are your goals? Is it to live a stress-free life and have high profits? Do you ultimately want to sell? Do you want to grow aggressively? What is your overarching goals?
Looking to exit within 3 years.
Wants to sell. Looking to sell. Timeline-wise, exit in 3 years. And for how much?
$1
billion.
$100 million.
Awesome. And over the next 12 months, what level of profitability are you looking for? And at what top line revenue?
Top line 25. Last year we did 20. And then bottom line, I like to be in a healthy
20%. 20%. Great. This is George. I always say this to every client. I don't take these goals down to then go build out a forecast that aligns with that. That would be more of a top down approach where, hey, we have these numbers that you want to hit and we're going to go make the forecast hit those numbers by the numbers that we plug in. Instead of that, to set proper expectations, the forecast that we're plugging in and building is from the ground up, and it's completely based on your historical data of what we can do within each of these customer cohorts, based on your acquisition data, based on your recent customer return rates, and much more within all these blue inputs. So just wanted to touch base on that. We're going to do everything we can. We're going to show you every lever that we can pull to make this a reality, but this will give us a good baseline understanding of where we currently at against these goals. Does that make sense?
Got it. Perfect.
Beautiful. Okay. Like we already said, George, we've agreed to all these numbers. This is your last 6 months worth of data. This is what we're projecting out. We have our AMER target, returning customer AOV, first-time AOV, initial file size of customers, recently acquired customer repeat rate, gross margin cost delivery at 50-50, all other fixed costs at 300K, hovering between 10 and 15%, pretty healthy there. Would love this to get closer to 10%. Your active non-recent repeat rates and then your monthly churn rate. All of that spits out, now that we're aligned on all of this being true, to hitting this forecast where we're at 28 million and 12.4%. So you want to be at 25 million. So top line's a little bit higher here. So we have some percentage points that we can make up here on the profit side of things because you want to be closer to that 20%. So does this make sense how this all comes together or any questions at this point, my man, George?
No, I don't think so.
Beautiful. Okay. So going back to this, again, this forecast is showcasing based on your historical data, what would ultimately, you know, what would the output be over the next 12 months? And so how can we reclaim some efficiency here? Because we have some room to work with to get to your $25 million target as a top line, but we need to make up some margin here. So how can we do that? Biggest thing that stands out to me on this forecast is this 100%. And something to call out is this is all within your control, right? Your returning customer repeat rate for recently acquired customers, your active non-recent customer repeat rate, your churn rate, and then your business metrics. So all fixed costs every month, cost of delivery.
Can you zoom in a little bit, Mr. Taylor Lagasse?
I can.
Beautiful. So,
again, this is everything that's within your control. You're hiring us to impact, and now it's a little too zoomed in. You're hiring us to impact this, and we'll get there. And again, we're going to be able to make improvements on this on a week-to-week and monthly basis. But just to start here, the biggest thing that stands out to me here is your cost.
Maybe 150 is that's secret sauce.
Is your cost of delivery here. All right, George, that's enough. Stop nitpicking. This is the view. You're fired. So this 50, we would love to get this closer to 30%. As a healthy metric. And if we were to get this to 30, just to show you how much of an impact this makes on the output here, right? So it goes from 28 million to 12.4%. If we were to change this to 30%, 70, and this is a healthy balance between these numbers, cost of delivery being at 30%, you know, we're looking at 28 million, top line obviously remains the same, but then we just reclaimed so much efficiency. And so there's a,
do you actually have clients that are able to climb that much in gross margin? Like other clients of Kinship that are able to grow that aggressively on the gross margin?
Grow that aggressively on the gross margin by getting this down
basically
from
going
50
from,
to 30.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be tough. It's not an overnight thing, but as we continue to scale, we should be able to get better terms with your manufacturer. And people typically think that's the only way we can, you know, improve upon this metric. It's not. I would 100% recommend testing different offers where you mess around with the pricing and you try to get better gross margin out of the offers that we are testing within Meta. And we can 100% help you do that. And that's another beautiful thing about cost controls. We can test as much, as you are well aware of, we can test as much creative as we possibly can. But in addition to that, we can test a ton of different offers. And we constantly want to be doing that to try to increase this gross margin. Testing new offers is a great way to do that as well. So I think an initial goal would be try to get this down to 40%.
Ever wish someone could just look under the hood of your business and tell you what's working, but also what's quietly holding you back? And that's exactly what we do on our free consultation calls. We've helped generate over $300 million in revenue, audited 200 plus P&Ls, and generate hundreds of thousands of ad creatives at this point. And we do it all by delivering a proven system built to generate results across every stage of your D2C business, making sure that it's generating a financially beneficial return. So if you're ready to scale with clarity and confidence, book a free call now at kinship.co/contact-us. That's kinship.co/contact-us. We'll show you exactly how to unlock your next stage of growth. Now let's get back to the show.
And even if we get it down to 40% by the end of the year, I mean, we're at that 20% clip at this point, above your top line revenue target. So would be a huge, I think this is our biggest area of opportunity here. Transparently, and does that all make sense before we kind of move on to the next piece here?
Today's Power Minute is brought to you by Mighty Scout, an influencer tracking tool. So you've probably heard Taylor and I talk about Mighty Scout at length in past episodes, but today we want to take special time to speak to it specifically. So if you are investing in any sort of influencer marketing to a degree, I highly suggest getting on Mighty Scout. First of all, it's going to track all of your organic posting that goes out. So if you're doing seeding, pay for posts, you can drop in all your influencers by campaign. And then once those influencers are in those campaigns, they're going to immediately start being tracked if and when they mention you by handle or any hashtags that you give it. So it's going to give and pull all that content, most importantly, so that you can know who posted, you can reach out for content rights, etc. Also, it's going to give you all the reporting and ROI on those things as far as metrics wise. So you're going to be able to know the vanity metrics that go out around those influencer posts. You're going to know everything that it goes into around influencer marketing in regards to Mighty Scout. So if you haven't checked them out, highly, highly suggest them. Go to mightyscout.com to find out more.
Transparently, not a ton we can do on this. It's pretty consistent. Within a forecast, the most volatile part of a forecast is typically new customer acquisition. The most reliable part of a forecast is your returning customers, especially when you break it out into these two individual unique cohorts. They behave quite differently, but they behave very consistently in the ways that they behave differently. So it's very reliable and very consistent. The only way I would, you know, say there's major room for growth here, which how far you are along as a business, being where you're at 25 and 20%. And last year you did 20 million. I would assume you have everything set up here properly with Klaviyo, with all your upsell flows to returning customers, your onboarding flows. That's going to have the biggest impact. If that's not set up well, this is the area of improvement that you could have. But not a ton of room here, most likely, for improvement. That's mostly going to come on this side of things, where you can really make an impact on your top line and bottom line profitability. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
All right, Georgie. So we want to continue to scale up our ad spend here at this 3 AMER. At this 3 AMER, this will translate to our 28-day click in-ad account target within Meta. So you might have been asking this question, why are we going through all this work to build this forecast? How does this actually tie to our in-ad account performance? So this 3 AMER should become our categorical prospecting target across all ad channels. This translates to our 28-day click target within Facebook, but this should also be your categorical prospecting target across 30-day click on Google, 30-day click on TikTok, 30-day click on Snapchat. No view through attribution. And this should not be your target for brand campaigns on Google or Amazon, where brand campaigns should be at a 15 to 20 to X, but this should become your 30-day click target across all categorical prospecting that you hold all channels to. So translating this to our 28-day click target within Meta, here we have a three, your $100 AOV, right, for new customer acquisition. If we get your blended COGS down to 40%, this is all empty right now, but just for sake of ease, let's just say it all adds up to 40 and it's 40% because you got it down from 50. Okay, great. This three target would lend itself to first purchase ROIC of 36.36%. But something to take into consideration here is this three translates to, we're going to run your brand with the AOV that you have on a 7-day click attribution setting. Again, no view through. So in the ad account, when you see a 2.57, this levels up to a 3. How and why is that? Based on your in-ad account performance, we put together a delayed attribution multiplier breakdown that showcases, hey, between day 7 and day 28, there's a lift of the amount of purchases that take place of 16.67%. So if we have an AMR target of a 3, we have a 28-day click target of a 3, that equates a 7-day click target of a 2.57 that levels up to this performance. Little wordy. Does that make sense though, Georgie?
Why are you looking at ROIC versus first purchase contribution margin, or are they the same?
They're the same. This is just what it is as a percentage, right, of the AOV. So we're looking at this. So this is the blended though, right? Our target isn't a 3 for every single product SKU. This is our target on a blended basis that lends itself to this first purchase contribution margin and this first purchase ROIC percentage. So on every single product SKU that we run a campaign on, and we break down our campaigns on a per product SKU basis, we want to aim to hit this same level of performance. We don't want to aim to hit a 3 on every single campaign. We want to aim to hit this level of contribution margin on every campaign.
Yeah.
Why? Because every single product SKU has different costs of delivery. So if we're aiming for 36.36% ROIC, first purchase ROIC, and the product SKU has a 36% cost delivery, our target can actually, as you'll see, be lower than a 3 on a 28-day click basis, and it will lend itself to the same first purchase ROIC. So instead of the target being a 3, which lends itself to 36.36, our target for this product SKU, because it has a lower cost of delivery, is now a 2.67 on a 28-day click basis. Does that make sense?
Love it. Love it.
You're a quick learner, George. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Never seen a forecast like this in all my years.
Our team will... You sure haven't. I'll bet your bottom dollar. We're gonna put this together for every single product SKU that you guys have, and we'll send it over to you for final approval. But we need to be fully aligned on this because it ultimately informs our cost controls here. This 7-day click CPA that you see here that levels up to the 7-day click ROAS, which ties to the AOV. All things considered, this will become our cost control on this product SKU that we're running, which will only allow us to spend money behind this campaign if we're acquiring customers at this level of performance, at this CPA, which lends itself to this first purchase ROIC and first purchase contribution margin that we're after, that ultimately ties to our performance target of a 3 AMER. All right. So, George, so this will become, as we've suggested, this will become our 7-day click CPA target. But on a day-to-day basis, we're going to have a performance overview tab that we want you to have as your home base, where we tie all this together and we report on it on a day-to-day basis. So every day up top here, we're going to report on your overarching business metrics, where we're going to have our target first purchase ROIC and our AMER target. And we're going to be reporting on that on yesterday, last 7 days, and month day. And this gets updated every single day for your team. And we're going to be reporting our in-ad account performance below here on a per product SKU basis as well. So you're constantly going to be able to see, hey, how are we doing within the ad account? And how is that tying ultimately up into our overall business metrics, just to make sure that, hey, the way that we are setting our targets within the ad account, the performance that's coming from it, is ultimately leveling up to our performance targets as an overarching business with total ad spend against our AMER target. Does that make sense?
Sure does. Thank you, Mr. Lags.
Let's win. Bring that cost delivery down. It will change your life, son.
I wish I could give all my money to Kinship. All right, guys. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of a preview of what it looks like going through a forecast with Taylor after onboarding, as well as just the importance of doing a forecast just at large. Something that I talked about is just because it's in a Google Sheet doesn't mean it becomes true. You have to go execute, but a good plan actually shows that, you know, when we execute on it, what that forecast shows is that we'll make money, we'll hit goals. So that is the advantage, is the way that we're doing forecasting from bottom up, like Taylor was saying. So We'll see you in the next episode for episode 3. We'll be bringing on Nate Gunn, the founder of Wildbird, and they're on a rocket ship of a brand. And we're going to be going through and talking about his experience with the forecast as well. We'll see you next time.